The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And in the New International Version, it's headed, "The Birth of Jesus Foretold." In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Let's pray. Father, we just recognize that there are many distractions this morning, but you have something to say to us, so we pray now that you will catch the attention of each and every one of us to what it is you need to say to us. As we approach Christmas, through this Advent season, speak to us, transform us, renew your church. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. And I think on the little evidence we have, the answer is probably not really. No, I didn't really know that. When she said yes, Mary could have had little or no idea of what she was saying yes to. Even if she had some sort of sense of the impact that this event was going to make on her life and the life of the world. A mother often experiences the joys and griefs of their child's life, sometimes more deeply than the child themselves, it has to be said. And Mary did not know. Although the events around the Nativity and Simeon's prophetic words that a painful sword will one day pierce your inner being, for your child will be rejected by many in Israel, And the destiny of your child is this: he will be laid down as a miracle sign for the downfall and resurrection of many in Israel. No, at this point of saying yes, she did not know, but she would. Which is one of the reasons that for me causes Mary to be the greatest human figure in the whole of the New Testament. I call Jesus human, but I also call him God. Greater than Peter, greater than Paul, greater than John, most certainly. For although she may not have written any gospels or letters, although she may not have planted any churches as far as we know, although she may not have stood before the courts as they did and received human punishment, Mary was responsible for bringing to life the one about whom they wrote and for whom they planted churches and for whom they stood before the courts and said, "I will not renounce his name." Yes, I will do what God wants. She could hardly know what she'd said yes to, but which of us do when we say yes to God? Really? It's open on God's side and unconditional from ours. And if we think it's any other way, then perhaps we have never really committed ourselves to Christ and invited him into our lives. Could Mary have imagined that she would be closer to the Son of God than any other human being could ever be? She would carry him in her womb for 9 months. She would give birth to him. She would feed him from her breasts. She would wipe his bottom. She would dress him. She would sit with him through the night hours when he was teething. She would give him his first teaching about the world and its creator. She would be the one to whom he would come when he'd cut his finger in his dad's joinery and needed it bandaging, or when he felt that he was a little boy in a very big world and in need of a cuddle from his mum. She would see him growing up, learning Joseph's trade and joining the family business, yet she would know that there had to be more. For she would see the light in his eyes whenever it was time to go to the synagogue or up to Jerusalem for the festivals, or whenever the Psalms were recited, or the conversation was about God and his ways. She would see him leave home on his father's business and know the pain of separation. She would see him preaching and see him healing the sick, see and hear the conflict that he sparked, not least among his brothers and sisters, and fear where it would all lead in the end. And she would stand with the other women at Calvary, at the foot of the cross. She would be one of the first, though, to hear of his rising. She would be with the 120 disciples waiting and praying for Pentecost in the upper room. She would be the mother of the Christ and would be so because she was the first person in the New Testament to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not that she might be glorified, nor that the Holy Spirit might be uplifted, but so that Christ might be formed in her and revealed to the world. Leon Sunens once said that Mary is the Christian par excellence. Her role is not in the order of obtaining grace. That's very important because Leon Sunens was a Catholic cardinal. Not in the order of obtaining grace. Her role, her place is not as a mediator. Mary's role is in relation to our response. In union with her and following in her steps, we are helped to receive the Holy Spirit and listen to his prompting. Mary is no more and no less than the prime example of what the Christian should be, especially when it comes to obeying God and accepting his will for our lives. There are occasions, aren't there, when we would love the Lord to step in and sort things out, and nothing appears to happen because we neglect his command to wait. And then there are other times in our lives when we're quietly getting along with things, minding our own business, and then we turn a corner to find him there waiting for us. Suddenly, there's new understanding, new vision, a new sense of purpose, a call to some kind of service, a conviction that something in our lives has to be changed. It was unexpected, but life will never quite be the same again. As a result of the encounter with the angel Gabriel, Mary's life would never be the same again. She had been chosen. The angels, almost ironic when he says, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary. For the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy and you are to name him Jesus." Chosen to surprise you, I should Coco. Talk about an understatement. I mean, this is hardly going to be any child. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit. Just listen to who the angel says this child is. The message calls him the Son of the Highest. Sometimes in ancient languages you could be called a son of someone if you resembled or believed strongly in that person. But this title means much more than Jesus was simply a follower of God, because the angel adds, he will reign as King of Israel forever. His reign will have no limit. In other words, no limit in time, no limit in space, forever and for everything, he will reign. So there's a promise that this child who is about to be born will not just be a mere political king, but will have a kingdom that will last forever. Indeed, the strong implication is that he's more than a mortal human being. And then the angel says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, Mary. It will overshadow you, so the Holy One. Literally, the text just says, so the Holy to be born will be called the Son of God. He will be called the Son of God, not merely because his character will bear a strong resemblance to God's, but because the very divine nature of God is going to be implanted in Mary's physical body. And therefore the one to be born will be perfectly holy, absolutely sinless, and will live forever as both divine and human. This is the incarnation that we celebrate at this time of year. It's an utterly astounding statement. and an elegant and concise summary of what has come to be called the doctrine of the incarnation, that God became incarnate when the Son of God assumed a human nature and was born in the flesh into the world, but still the Son of God. And there's a second thing to note in this word from the angel. We learn that the child to be born has to be given a particular name, not as would generally have been expected for the firstborn, Joseph. But then he's not Joseph's son, but Jesus, because he is God's son. And Jesus literally means the one who saves. The one who saves. A more appropriate name couldn't be imagined. Every founder of every other religion comes to the world as a human being, as a guide to show a way of salvation. None could ever claim to be God or even a redeemer or a savior. But the Bible says Jesus is the way of salvation. None would ever claim to be God, but he did. Living the life we should live and dying the death we should die for our sins. So in the very name of this child, we see the uniqueness of Christianity in general and Jesus in particular. An ocean of truth put into a single word, a name. The other day I came upon this little Christian verse on the internet. It's not got a great deal of literary merit, but it does state one profound truth. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He only came to save the world. And Jesus was his name. And when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. For Jesus means Savior. When you pray, pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray in the name of the one who has saved you. And faced with all the angel Gabriel has to reveal to her, Mary doesn't respond by allowing doubt or excuses to win the day. She does intelligently ask, how can this happen? I'm still a virgin. Now, she's not innocent to how these things happen. I mean, she's a peasant girl who has lived among animals all her life. She knows what happens to create new life. And so the angel explains that the Holy Spirit will come on her as she is overshadowed by the Most High God. And in the end, there are no ifs and buts as she reflects on what this might mean for her, a teenage girl betrothed to a respectable man. She knows that there are those in the community who might choose to stone her on the basis of a pregnancy that must obviously have resulted from some unholy alliance. But she asks no further signs. And in answer to her question, the angel says, no one, not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. God himself is to be the father of the child, for he is reaching out to rescue his people. Mary may be mystified by the strange angelic event. She may not understand its full significance, but she raises no objections. She doesn't protest like others before her. After all, Moses said, send anyone but me. I'm no good at public speaking. And Gideon said, I'm weak. You'll have to send me a big army and send me some kind of sign, Lord. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I'm wretched." Jonah said, "I'll go the other way if you don't mind." Jeremiah said, "I'm too young." And Zechariah said for himself and Elizabeth, "We're too old." Peter said, "I'll follow you to the very end," but when push came to shove, denied ever knowing Jesus. Paul, when he was still called Saul, said the only response to make this Jesus is to deny him and to hound his followers until they stop proclaiming their so-called good news of the way. They all came right in the end, these men of God. But how do they stand against the simple obedience and trust of Mary, the teenage girl who was placing the whole of her life in God's hands so that he might be revealed to the world through her? "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you say." As we've been sitting in this place for the last, was it 5 months, 6 months? I've lost count. We've been thinking about the refurbishment, and the refurbishment is almost done, but I also suggested we should think about the refurbishment of us as God's people. Has that begun yet? See, the Lord is coming again. And he's coming in all sorts of ways. And he needs a people who are ready to receive him and declare him. But the only way of receiving him, to declare him, is, it would seem from Mary's example, to be willing to say, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me just as you say." I want to read this from the French writer Michel Coist. It was written back in 1954, but speaks directly to where we are. And after this, we'll move into our time of communion, which I'd like to invite you to make a moment of response, if you wish. That as you take the bread, as you take the cup, it will be another moment for you to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever." I'm afraid of saying, "Yes, Lord. Where will you take me? I'm afraid of drawing the longest straw. I'm afraid of signing my name to an unread agreement. I'm afraid of the yes that entails other yeses. And yet I am not at peace. You pursue me, Lord. You besiege me. I run after noise for fear of hearing you, but in a moment of silence you slip through. I turn from the road, for I have caught sight of you, but at the end of the path, you are there awaiting for me. Where shall I hide? I meet you everywhere. Is it then impossible to escape you? I'm afraid to say, "Yes, Lord." I'm afraid of putting my hand in yours, for you hold on to it. I'm afraid of meeting your eyes, for when I do, you can win me. I'm afraid of your demands, for you are a jealous God. I'm hemmed in, yet I hide. I'm captured, yet I struggle, and I fight, knowing that I am defeated. And you are the stronger, Lord. You own the world and you take it from me. When I stretch out my hand to catch hold of people and things, they vanish before me. It's no fun, Lord. I can't keep anything for myself. The flower I pick fades in my hands. The laugh freezes on my lips. The waltz I dance leaves me restless and uneasy. Everything seems empty. Everything seems hollow. You have made a desert around me. I'm hungry and thirsty, and the whole world cannot satisfy me. And yet I loved you, Lord. What have I done to you? I worked for you. I gave myself for you. O great and terrible God, what more do you want? Child, I want more for you and for the world. Until now, you have planned your actions. But I have no need for them. You have asked for my approval. You have asked for my support. You have wanted to interest me in your work. But don't you see, child, that you were reversing the roles? I have watched you. I've seen your goodwill. And I want more than you now. You will no longer do your own works, but the will of your Father in heaven. Say yes, child. I need your yes as I needed Mary's yes to come to earth. For it is I who must do your work. It is I who must live in your family. It is I who must be in your neighborhood and not you. For it is my look that penetrates and not yours, my words that carry weight and not yours, my life that transforms and not yours. Give all to me, abandon all to me. I need your yes to be united with you and to come down to earth. I need your yes to continue saving the world. O Lord, I'm afraid of your demands, but who can resist you? That your kingdom may come and not mine. That your will may be done and not mine. Help me to say yes. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would work in our hearts and minds. Make us a people who say yes to you, yes to your will, and without hesitation, yes to one another in the body of Christ, because you have chosen who we should be with, not us, not them. We need one another, which is why you have put us together. So sanctify us as your body, that as we go back to our Park Avenue premises, we'll be ready for you to do the something new, the something different, the something glorious through the miracle of incarnation. In Jesus' name, amen.